We've got a long day of groundfish ahead of us. For those who weren't in the room at the end of yesterday, we were changing the order of the agenda, and we're going to work on Framework 52 first. There are more motions today than I can count, so we're going to stay with the two comments per council member mode that we're on the other day. So I'm going to turn it right over to Frank, and we're going to get rolling.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Groundfish Committee met on March 28th and on April 4th. The advisory panel met on April 1st, and I'd like to thank everybody from these groups for the efforts they made to move these both Amendment 18 and 52 along. I have relatively few motions today, but I understand that there are many council members wishing to make motions today. After speaking with staff, I hope that when the motions are made, they are substitute motions and not add-ons, or Amendment 18 will take on a track similar to the Habitat Amendment. So please keep that in mind as we move forward. The Groundfish PDT has held two conference calls and one in-person meeting. They worked on several tasks with recommendations from the advisory panel and PDT analysis. Framework 52. We're here to discuss the commercial groundfish accountability measures for the southern and northern windowpane flounder stocks and possibly approve a range of alternatives to be analyzed for this action. To do this, the council will have to do committee work today. The PDT has been able to analyze the alternatives for the northern area, so the best course of action may be to split this action and put northern window pane into the next framework. There are very different issues between the northern and southern window pane, so hopefully we can keep focused on the different needs of the two fisheries. The PDT has provided analysis to the committee regarding Framework 52. Due to the shortened timeline, the PDT needs flexibility to come up with ideas on their own, which in the past council members haven't embraced, or they need clear guidance today from the council on alternatives. So keep that in mind as we move forward. The PDT has an updated draft for alternatives for Framework 52, which everybody should have. I think it's dated April 21st. This is the one. And now I look to Dr. Jamie to give us an update on 52. Any questions before we...
Thank you. Good morning. So what I'd like to do is provide a brief update on the development of Framework Adjustment 52 and then have any discussion questions about the two documents that you have. You should have two things before you. Document number 3 and document number 3A. So document number 3 is the second version, an updated version of a memo regarding background information for windowpane accountability measures. Document 3A is a staff memo. Due to time constraints, the full PDT had not had an opportunity since the April 4th meeting to meet, so a subgroup of the PDT has been working on developing some additional information as well as some draft alternatives, and I'll touch on those in my presentation. So just briefly, I'll provide you an overview of our current timeline, the purpose of this action, some additional background, and the next steps. As you recall, the Council initiated 52 in February, and it's been since that time when we've been working to develop the measures. And here today, you could be potentially selecting measures to include in Framework 52, and then we would spend April and June working on the NEPA analysis and potentially taking final action on 52 at the June Council meeting. I just want to remind people that as we develop this timeline, this was always going to be a difficult timeline, but it might be possible. So I just want people to keep that in mind as we work through the information today. The purpose, as Frank described, is really to revise the AMs for the commercial groundfish fishery for both the southern and the northern windowpane stocks. And as you recall, why we're in this situation is there are overages in fishing year 2012. That meant that the current AMs were triggered for fishing year 2014, and that's due to when information was available from that year one overage, then the AM being implemented in year three. And as you recall, for both stocks, the ACLs were exceeded by more than 20%. The council requested at its February meeting that any revision to the current AMs be applied retroactive to the upcoming fishing year, or any overages that occurred prior to the 2014 fishing year. You also have in your background information a table of preliminary 2013 catches. This has not been updated since March 19th, 2014, but I can tell you that for both the northern window pane stock and the southern stock, that the groundfish catch has increased slightly. But what I want you to notice here is that for the northern window pane stock, the current catches are already above the OFL. So you're looking at those red circles. Preliminary fishing year 2013 catch is at 227, and that OFL circled in the bottom table is 202. So what are these areas? The current AM areas are gear modification areas, and you have in your information detail about what types of selective gear could be used in these areas. And they're based on the amount of overage that occurs over the ACL, whether it's greater than 5% and up to 20%, and then beyond 20%. And the smaller areas are for that smaller overage, and then the larger areas apply to the larger overage. As you recall, the status of the stocks is important in this conversation. Both for the northern window pane flounder and the southern window pane flounder, we have really an opposite situation, where in the north the stock is overfished and overfishing is occurring. And for the southern stock, it's not overfished, but overfishing is not occurring. So now I'm on document number three. Document number three provides a lot of background about the current AMs and some details on the survey. And just some highlights from that memo. The PDT reviewed the discard methodology used to calculate discards of windowpane flounder in the groundfish fishery and didn't have any major concerns. The PDT suggested that it would like to continue examining fishing year 2013 trips with high discards. In addition, the PDT noted that the updated biomass indices for both stocks suggested increases, but also noting that these conclusions are not a replacement for the stock assessment. It was in this memo that the PDT had developed some ideas about how these accountability measures might be revised, and developed some appendices to support those ideas. Those ideas were reviewed at the committee on April 4th, and the committee tasked the PDT with then further developing those ideas into alternatives, which brings me to document number 3A. So just a reminder of that oversight committee meeting, the motions that I believe Frank will bring forth today. One was to continue developing the alternatives based on these ideas, and a second is related to further action in a future framework to allocate windowpane flounder ACL to other components of the fishery. We'll get to that in a bit. So in the staff memo, which you have before you, there are three different types of options. First, you have the no-action alternative. The second would revise the accountability measure trigger. So there are two options that we drafted under this section, and they would revise the trigger, but all other aspects of the current AM would remain the same. Suboption A includes a trigger that incorporates stock status or biomass. So if you know that the stock is in good condition, and a number of other criteria that we suggest, perhaps you treat that stock differently, you would then implement the AM differently, and I can go into that as well. The suboption B would account for catch performance. So year one, you would know that you had an overage. year two, you did a better job. Can you account for that year two performance when by year three that AM would be triggered and implemented? And the last option was an option that would revise the accountability measures to be seasonal, and all other aspects would remain the same. And as we discussed in the at the April 4th committee meeting, in order to have a seasonal accountability measure, perhaps those areas would be larger, even though they might be shorter in time, where you'd have a gear modification. And so one suggestion in the document, at least for the northern stock, is perhaps using statistical 522, and there's some discussion about when that accountability measure could potentially be a seasonal AM. I want to caution the council on this memo. This has, again, not been reviewed by the full PDT. We have, even the subgroup has questions that it wants to work through, and we, knowing that it was important to the council to move forward as quickly as possible, we did want to provide this information to you today with the caveat that there are a number of issues that we still need to work through with this information, and as Frank suggested, if you're willing to do committee work today, then that might be one approach. So the next steps for today are to review the recommendations from both the plan development team, the groundfish advisory panel, which you have that information in your binder, also the details from the oversight committee, and then the council staff memo. And then potentially today select alternatives for inclusion for then the PDT to start working on the draft environmental assessment. With that, I'll take questions.
Thank you, Jamie. Questions for Jamie? This is rare. Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one question on slide 6 with the 2013 catches that are projected, Jamie. Why is it NA? Why is it NA for the other subcomponent of the southern window pane stock?
Those catches come in later, and so those have not been finalized, and so they weren't available at the time of putting this table together. Usually that's done after the fishing year when they're putting together the other subcomponent catches. So there is a lag in when information is available.
So you have it this summer, something like that, maybe?
Usually comes with our annual catch reports.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Vincent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Jamie. Jamie, in our groundfish committee meeting, we went over 42112 there. Has the PDD had a chance to look at it anymore?
So one thing that we discussed at the committee meeting was looking at each stock and seeing what the consequences would have been looking backwards, and we have not had a chance to make those to do those analysis with each of these alternatives as described here.
Tom.
Jamie, it might be helpful. If you could walk through a little bit the sub-option B alternative, which accounts for year two performance when an AM has been triggered for year three.
Sure. So sub-option B is on page number 13 of the memo 3A. And if you know in year one, if you know as soon as possible that there is an overage in year one, the NIMS would announce that possibility of an AM being implemented in year three. But during that time, in year two, perhaps the fishery has an incentive to stay under, and so they under-harvest the ACL. And if you know that's coming as well, what would happen, as this is described, is that in year three, you would have the small area AM go in place, and as soon as possible, if there was an underage in that second year, you would then lift that AM in season when data was available to make that final determination. So something would go into place to curb catches until you made a final determination whether or not that overage did occur while you were accounting for an underage in the second year. So you're using catch performance over that three-year period to make that determination.
Terry.
So when do we get the annual catch reports? I'm just trying to figure out where that would come into the fishing year, Jamie.
Typically get those in September, so as long as there's not another shutdown.
Terry. And if that went through, would we need a meeting to do that, or is that something that would just automatically be done?
The PDT has discussed that any of these AMs that are developed should be really formulaic. So it's not that the committee would have to meet or the council would have to meet, that there would be enough written into these AMs. So you'd follow a procedure and make that decision so NIFS can make that final decision.
Okay, seeing no other hands, I can turn it back to Frank.
Okay. First motion. Motion number one, Karen. Okay. To develop alternatives to revise window pane accountability measures triggers by taking into account stock status using survey information and utilizing catch performance according to the approach provided as the Groundfish PDT ideas number one and number two. And AM have been revised to seasonal gear-based modification areas according to the PDT idea number three. And this memo 4314. And the motion carried 9-1-1.
Committee motion that doesn't need a second. Go out to the audience for any comments. Seeing none, back to the council. Seeing none, those who support the motion on the board, please indicate so. And those opposed, motion carries 16-1-0. Frank.
Okay. Second motion is to initiate another framework to further allocate the window pane flounder ACL to be expanded to other components of the fishery and develop AMs for these components. And that motion carried 10-0-1.
Committee motion that doesn't need a second. Comments from the audience? Seeing none. I'm coming back to you, Tom. Back to the council. There was a hand in the back? I didn't see one. Mark.
Jamie, what constitutes the other component?
So I think there might be two things. One would be to look in the northern stock area. Scallops has been part of the discussion. And then if there was other information available to show that there were catches from other components, we haven't done that analysis.
Tom?
Was the discussion at the committee to have, you know, a separate framework for this, or is the idea to put this in the framework that we would probably do when we have to when we have to adjust things like the U.S.-Canada tax in November?
So there was discussion on both sides of that. Some in the committee felt that 52 might need to be a longer action and not as narrow and have a longer discussion about further allocating the ACL while also revising the AMs. Others in the committee felt that it was important to move forward with the framework 52 and develop this in the action which potentially be 53, where we do specifications at the end of the year.
Tom.
The council may want to consider, this could conceivably have some impacts on the priorities and the workload on the council. This is a change that we really had not planned on. And the reason I mention it is not because I'm not convinced it's a huge change for some of the things that the PDT, Groundfish PDT, does routinely when they analyze catches at the end of the year. But I think one of the issues that will be examined is whether there should be a northern windowpane sub-ACL for the scallop fishery, which would require scallop fishery AMs, which are typically developed in the scallop FMP. And I'm not sure whether the scallop PDT is, well, I know they're aware of it because Jamie's talked to Deirdre, but I don't know if they've got an opinion yet on how much work it would take to develop AMs for that fishery on northern windowpane. It's probably not as big a job as it would have been a year ago because of all the work they've done on gear for the AMs in southern New England windowpane, but I would like the opportunity to check with them to make sure that with their assessment, their general category IFQ report, and their modifying of the access areas for next year, that they can actually, should they need to, develop an AM on the same time frame.
Okay, I see a hand in the back, but I can't see a face. Come on up.
Bonnie Brady, Long Island Commercial Fishing Association. I may be out of order. I'm just, is this the motion that I would discuss as far as in where the AMs that exist within 52 to have them readdressed, or would that have been the motion that you just went over, or is this a future motion? I just want to make sure I'm not missing any point of this. For the AMs, if 52 is passed as it is in the document right now, with the two AMs, the large and the small AM for southern New England.
Frank.
Jamie.
So the way I understand the last motion was actually that was a committee motion tasking the PDT to do something that we brought forward. I still think that there would need to be an additional motion to say what would be included for analysis in 52. So that was to endorse the concept, to develop the ideas. That document number 3A furthers develop those ideas, but those ideas themselves that are now draft alternatives need some additional discussion.
So, Rod, is your comment specific to the motion on the board?
It's about data
backing up. Is it quick?
Ron Smolitz, which stock assessment, what year was the stock assessments completed for the stocks for what Lisa did there?
So these are most recently part of the groundfish updates. So those are the 2012 groundfish updates with the terminal year of the assessment in 2010.
Okay, so it's the 2000 updated 2010 assessment. Okay, that was my question.
Okay, back to the council. Mark.
Okay. Looking at the slide you had on slide number six, you have several categories in the fishing. You have groundfish, scallop, state waters, and other subcomponent. So does this motion apply to the other subcomponent, or by saying other components, you're referring to both scallop and the other subcomponent?
I think the motion is broad. If you look in document number 3 and you look at table number 2, you have some additional detail about the non-groundfish catch from both the scallop, fluke, scup, small mesh, and then another category.
Any further questions from the council?
Okay, thank you.
Seeing none, those support the motion on the board, please indicate so. And those opposed? And those abstaining? Motion carries 16-01. Frank?
Okay, so for 52, if the council would like to proceed today, as Jamie just said, we're going to need a motion with alternatives. Or is this something we want to work out in the future? I mean, the difference Well, I'll leave it at that for now.
What are your thoughts, Council? Terry.
So, the way I read it, they're suggesting that we're not ready to do the northern ones yet, right? Is that what I'm? Is that what everybody? And but the southern ones are available to do in there. So, and they're suggesting that we split it off. So, I mean, if that's what we got to do, that's what we got to do. At least it takes care of half of the problem anyway. So.
So you're making that motion?
Well, let's see what Jamie says. Maybe I had it wrong, Terry. I just want to make sure.
Jamie.
So just to be clear, the PDT has not made that determination between the two stocks. But as you read through the alternatives as developed, we have not gone through the process of looking at how this would apply to the two stocks. But I think you can read between the lines of some of this stuff. And really the only alternative that we've suggested in the north that is different from the other ones is a seasonal AM. So there is something that's been developed by the subgroup. Again, if you wanted to do something today, you'd have to do some additional committee work. If you felt that you wanted to split off the southern stock from this discussion, it would be helpful to describe in that previous motion if you wanted to look at both window pane stocks or was that just the northern stock. I don't know if people picked up on that nuance.
Doesn't appear so. What's your thoughts, Tom?
So the question on the table, I guess, is whether to address the window pane AMs for both northern and southern in Framework 52 or whether to address the AM for northern window pane in a subsequent action. And I just want to make sure that council members realize that if it's a subsequent action, the likelihood that there will be any changes to the northern window pane AM in fishing year 2014 are slim to none. Because the subsequent action is probably going to be the one we vote on in November, which probably will be implemented the 1st of May 2015.
Terry.
Okay, so trying to wrap my head around that statement. But even if we do something, the way the numbers are running, we're still not going to be able to do something, right, with Northern the way that the numbers are running. Oh, sorry. You had said it, so that's why I directed towards
Jamie.
You.
Again, we haven't done that work to show you the way the numbers are running, so I can't make a definitive call on that. One approach would be to come back and look at these alternatives again with that PDT additional analysis in June, and then insert those alternatives into the document and then doing the analysis. So we'd be where we are now, but we'd have additional PDT time, additional committee time to think through some of these alternatives as drafted and potentially have, you know, something in place that could be feasible for northern window pane. But we can't really make that determination with the information as provided.
Thoughts, anyone? Terry?
Okay. So I personally would rather, if we can wait one more meeting and maybe get something out of it for this fishing year, I'd rather wait to that. But, I mean, I'll go along with whatever anybody thinks. I'm just kind of looking for a gut feeling on what you think the numbers would be, but it doesn't look like you're going to answer that.
My gut's not feeling too good today, so I don't think I could answer that anyway.
Okay, I'm going to let this one slide. Frank?
I think, the difference between the two stocks, the southern stock is not overfished and overfishing is not occurring. In the northern, I believe it's both of those, Jamie?
The opposite is true.
The opposite is true?
In the north, yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And here, we didn't make a problem. When we first put the AMs in place, one of the things we looked at for the southern area, I think most of the catch is caught by other components of the fishery, and the southern ground fishery is what's taking the brunt of the action here. So we were trying to do something as quick as possible to preserve the fall fishery which I believe it's a fall fishery. Fall fisheries. The southern area was kind of hoping that there could be something in place so they wouldn't lose the entire ground fishery in that area. And I'm not sure if we delayed too long that we'll be able to accomplish that.
Tom.
Just a quick question. If we proceed with the course that Jamie's identified, we have alternatives here in this framework, and we're going to take final action after a PDT meeting and a committee meeting. I don't really see that as a tremendous delay because we weren't prepared. We weren't in a position to take final action here anyhow. So the soonest we would be making decisions would be June, and we'd have the benefit of the PDT's discussion and committee work.
Jamie.
You're correct that we weren't prepared to take final action today. Today was to potentially include alternatives in the document for analysis. If that is the intent, to move something forward today, it would be helpful to know those alternatives and have answers to some questions about them that I have. Because without that, we have a committee meeting June 9th, and so that's right before the next council meeting. So we're going to be working on the analysis and the alternatives after today in a vacuum. So we won't have that feedback from the committee until June 9th. So if there's a change, a significant change, that's not going to make it into the analysis that the council then looks at the June meeting. So today is an opportunity, I think, to move forward with something or perhaps wait until the June meeting and then look at this again. And I think that was really my point.
Terry.
If we look at it, you probably won't have the analysis that we're looking for in June, right? And so we'd be looking at a September initializing, and then the southern guys are going to miss their ground fishery altogether, right? So, no.
So on the timeline we currently have, thinking that we could make it, let's just say, for sake of argument, I believe implementation could be as soon as early November. So anything beyond that, you're going to have to add those months. So it might be 3 months beyond that or more.
Jeff.
Jamie, so by that time, you'll have the other subcomponent landings estimates in the southern area by the November time frame you were talking about, where we would know, you know, whether or not there's going to be AMs in 2015, I guess, in that area, right? That's because clearly there's no trigger being pulled for 2014 yet, correct? Because and we don't have the information about what the magnitude of the landings and the other subcomponent were yet in the southern area for 2013. But by November, when this council makes a decision about 2015 AMs, you'll have the 2013 other subcomponent landing values. Am I following this correctly? Thank you.
So if 52 stays as is to revise the current AMs, so revise either the triggers or the areas, I'm not sure that the other subcomponent information provides more than some details about what else is happening with the other components and their catches and whether or not those revised AMs, what they might look like for the future. But the other question about the other subcomponents, so that next available, that next action, that would be further explored through the summer and then the fall with that new information that you're suggesting.
Okay, thank you.
Terry.
Then I personally think that we should wait till June and take a look at what we have, and it'll be in place by September, you thought, early November? I'd like to hear some industry guys tell me if that would affect the fishery or not down that way for us.
So to make June for final action today, we would need guidance on the draft alternatives as given in 3A, and they would have to be some discussion about those, and then a motion to include them for analysis today.
David.
Yeah, just a clarification. We just passed a motion. We got in the other subcomponents, and that's going to take some time for us to work on and eventually approve. And until that time, with the current rules before us relative to accountability measures in the southern New England area, looking at the figure on page 12 of the draft framework, the bottom figure that shows the large mesh area in the New York, in the Mid-Atlantic Bight, the fluke fishery is not affected by any accountability measure in that area, correct? But potentially it would be with the action that we've just taken. Just seeking a clarification. I think that's, I see shaking of the head no.
Jamie?
So I believe in fishing year 2013, AMs went into place for those. They weren't initiated, but that's when they were established. So potentially, depending on what happens this year, there could be an AM, but we don't have final year data. So there would be a delay. That would be 2015.
I'm just trying to recall how the fluke fishery is affected by what we have in place right now. And if it is affected now, then I guess the actions that we just took regarding the other components would not pertain to the fluke fishery because it's already been dealt with. That's what a clarification I seek is, how do we deal with the fluke fishery now? Is it included as a fishery that would be impacted by the AM? I think the AM right now applies to the groundfish fishery, correct? So the fluke fishery right now is not affected by the southern windowpane flounder accountability measure in the Mid-Atlantic Bight off of Long Island and New Jersey, correct?
So to me, there's a couple questions there. 52, as currently discussed, is focused on the groundfish fishery only. And yes, there are AMs in place that could be triggered for the fluke fishery, I think that began in fishing year 2013 that they were put in place. And they're the same AM areas.
I don't see any hands. Terry's in the audience. You have a motion for Terry, or are we going to move on? You got a kind of motion? Okay. Kind of put it out, would you?
Well, I was just talking to I don't even know if we need a motion. I was just talking to Chris, and, you know, it seemed like the timeline for them where they catch groundfish down there in the fall is later in the year. So we could – I think we should just maybe put some alternatives in here today somehow, some way, and come back in June, look at them. And if we – I just want to get this right. So if we had the final vote on this in September, when would it be in place, Jamie?
That would revise the timeline we currently have.
Yeah.
And if you took a final vote in September, so currently when you took final action in June, if you were to take final action in June, the earliest potentially that it could be implemented is like early November. So any delay between that time, so July, August, September, that's a 3-month delay. So 3 months after November, potentially, January, February. If I have my math right.
So, no matter.
Which.
I'm following up, so.
Which then the question becomes, is that too late? And, do you want to keep it as a standalone still?
Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if I am reading this correctly, then we should be taking 4.2.1.1 and 4.2.1.2 for the, we should be including them now for the PDT to analyze. Is that what you're,
and
would that be a proper move forward?
And 4.2.1.3, if you...
Well, that applies only to the northern stock, or am I wrong with that?
I think you are correct, but I don't know if the decision has been made to split the action and only have it apply to southern. I think that was still being discussed.
Okay, then what I'll do is I'll put a motion on the table to include in Framework 52 analysis 4.2.1.1, option 1, and option 2, 4.2.1.2, and 4.2.1.3 for analysis by the PDT.
Motion seconded by PK. Go out to the audience. Vito, you had your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vito Gigoloni, Northeast Seafood Coalition. We support putting these options forward. I just wanted to stress the about when talking about the timing. Both winter flounder fisheries are in trouble this year if we implement something post-September. And from what we're told from some of our Southern New England members also is that's going to start right now in May and June as far as problems in Southern New England. So I don't know. The policies seem to make sense, all of the options we support, you know, going forward. But just having that policy in place when the data comes, at least you could use it. I don't know what we need, you know, if it's necessary to wait for analysis. I think it's sensible policy. Also, the northern area, you get a $15 million impact that's already been estimated on, you know, just the window pane, northern window pane impacts. So to wait for a subsequent framework is something that we had supported if that could move right along. But as Tom said on priorities, it may not. I think these policies may be able to benefit the northern window pane stock as well. So I just want to, a little panicked that we're not understanding the time, the problem that we have right now with the $15 million impact. I think it's $11.75 million just in New Bedford alone for northern window pane. So if you can expedite this, I don't think November, January is going to, we're going to basically miss out on remedying any of the AM damages in the southern and northern areas. That's just, that's the reality. So expedite it.
George, then Bonnie.
Yeah, just in having to do with the timing of this, any framework is going to take about 5 months to implement from the time that we get the final documents from the council. So if everything breaks right, maybe 4 months. But it's a substantial time lag because we have to do proposed and final rulemaking and all of the review. So if the council can turn it right around to us within a month, you can figure it'll be 5 or 6 months after the council takes final action till it could be implemented, whatever it turns out to be.
Bonnie.
Okay. Bonnie Brady, Long Island Commercial Fishing Association. We do support this motion with the specific request that it does get really fast-tracked, if that's possible, in council speak, because November would be devastating for Long Island. Basically, the AMs, how they exist, will take out the New York ground fishery. Whatever we have that we catch will no longer be able to be caught, with the exception of maybe some cod in April, but everything else gone. And it's because the AMs are just way over-restricting on a stock that is not overfished, and overfishing isn't occurring. But if it needs to be done quickly, so anything that everyone can do to help speed that along would be huge. Stock isn't even commercially viable. Most toes are less than 25 pounds. If you look at the way that the GARM 3 was done, apparently they did stochastic projections that would have increased the amount of catch that would have been available, but then they threw that out in exchange for a three-year average, which is hurting us. If the stock is rebuilt, every time you get more bycatch, obviously it's the dog eating his tail because it's going to show more and more and more. There is an issue also with the fluke fishery, with, you know, other fisheries that exist. That's why we were trying to expedite the gear issues specifically so that we can reduce bycatch of this species. But when you have a rebuilt stock, it's kind of hard to avoid. Please, if we can speed it along, get it done so that we can have something we can live with, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Jamie.
So as I mentioned, there are still some outstanding questions, and I hope they will be discussed. Under option 2, so 4.2.1.2, sub-option A, the subgroup of the PDT is suggesting that there be specific criteria that are met when you could use this AM. So one would be that the stock is rebuilt or on its rebuilding trajectory, and the second is the biological consequences of the overage are small or negligible. That second one in particular, I think, is pretty vague. And so we would be looking for flexibility to help flesh those out through the PDT process, or if you have information today that you'd like to suggest or provide detail on that criteria, that would be helpful. Second, on option 3, 4.2.1.3, that's the seasonal AM. The PDT has not had a chance to really examine how these might have disproportional impacts on the groundfish fishery. And really what they're describing, what's being described in here, is a four-month gear modification area for the small overage or a eight-month gear modification area for the large overage. So I just want to make sure that people understand that 522 is not an insignificant amount of area. It is a whole statistical area. And just as you're having this discussion, that you understand these alternatives and some of the limitations that they currently have.
Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The point here is to get this in the action. And the question of whether to put it in now or later, I'm trying to decide. I'm listening to this whole discussion and trying to see the relevance of choosing one time over the other. They have to be put into the action anyway. The sooner we get them in, then the more flexibility we've got in how we engineer this. And I'm not being on the committee, I'm trying to get a grasp of what the discussion was, because I don't want to preempt the committee. I've been holding back, waiting for somebody from the committee to make a decision here. But it just seems to me at this point, listening to all of this, that these things just have to be put in the action. And let's get them in the action. And then as the PDT is able to do what they have to do, I'm sure they'll come back with questions that I can't anticipate right now. If there's something else that we need, then I'm open to a friendly to straighten this out. But at this point, listening to Vito, listening to Bonnie said, by putting it in now, we're implying that it's being fast-tracked. And I'm not ready to say, well, let's fast-track it, because I'm not in a position to say what the PDT is going to be able or not able to do. But let's get it in as soon as we can, and then these things can be worked out.
Further council comment. PK.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the committee. I'm comfortable with leaving the PDT up to leaving things open, and then we have our committee meeting on the 9th, and hopefully we can have it ironed out then for the council meeting in June. So I agree with you, Dave. We need to get it in and analyzed.
Okay, I'm seeing a lot of shaking heads, with the exception of Mark, who raised his hand.
Thanks. I certainly support the motion. I remain concerned about the timeline, even acting today. The bringing winter flounder, southern New England winter flounder, back online, it's been extremely important to industry in Rhode Island. That was a crippling loss that went back to, I think, 2009, the interim rule, and having it available again for allocation in the sector has been extremely important. And I'm not understanding that even this action, this timeline, saves that for this particular fishing team. So I would just implore the council and the committee, the PDT, to find a way to make this happen as soon as possible, so they don't lose what has been one of the few lifelines that this council has been able to extend beyond the in-ground fish matters. Thank you.
Are there any final comments? Seeing none, those support the motion on the board, please indicate so. It's unanimous, 17-0-0. Frank?
Unless we have anything else, I think that's it for 52. Wow. Okay.
Okay, on to the easy one, right?
Yes, this one should be much easier. Okay.
You're done.
I did lean over to George, and when he was speaking there, I did make a comment that he said we an awful lot when he was saying we'll have this done and what we have to do. So I'm not sure if that means if he's leaving or not, but I was encouraged by that. Okay. With that, on to Amendment 18. 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 On to Amendment 18.